Y'all ready to listen? All right, cool. Well, I'm going to talk today about giving. Uh-oh, it instantly went silent just then. But I'm going to talk about giving from a couple different perspectives. You guys can loosen your wranglers in the words of Pastor Lynn, all right? It's going to be okay. I'm going to talk today about giving from the perspective of living a lifestyle of giving. Okay, so that has to do with money, but that has to do with a lot of other things as well, that we're just givers, okay? You can be a give, you can be, I'll say it this way, you can give without being a giver, right? I mean, you guys know that you can give in such a way that just says, fine, I have to give, but you're not a giver, right? Or we can give in such a way that just says, I give because that's who I am, and I love to give, and I live to give, and that's what it's all about. So let me start with just a little fun story. I thought this was kind of fun. Probably not fully appropriate for the sermon that I'm talking about, but you'll understand. So a mother wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson, so she gave her a quarter and a dollar for church. Put whichever one you want in the offering bucket and keep the other one for yourself, she told the little girl. So when they were coming out of church, the mother asked the daughter, which amount had she given? Well, said the little girl, I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers, and I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter. Thought that was pretty funny. So it really doesn't have anything to do with being a giver, because obviously that's the opposite of what we're talking about today. But it's always good to have fun. We can have fun in church, right? Church is a good time. So I'm going to talk about giving today. Pastor Lynn's been talking over this last few weeks, good stuff, amen, about spiritual disciplines and working it out spiritually and getting spiritually fit so that we can come to a spot where God can use us. You know that if you're not spiritually fit, if you're not fit physically, you can't do as much, right? And it's the same thing spiritually, that if you're not spiritually fit, you're not going to be able to do as much. And I believe that giving is an area of the Christian walk, that it's a discipline that we need to have in place in our life. And I'm going to go beyond that, and I'm going to say today that I think it's more than just giving, but that it's being a giver, okay? I'll go a little further, and I'll even say that I believe that in order for us to live a godly life, we need to be givers. That's a bold statement, but I'm going to say it today, that in order for us to live a godly life, we have to be givers, okay? So I'm not just talking about money today. We're talking about all kinds of stuff, but Luke 6:38, give and it will be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. There's another translation that I like. It says, give away your life, you'll find life given back, but not merely given, given back with bonus and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. How many of you know that generosity really does receive generosity? When you're generous, people are generous back. How many of you know that the golden rule, right? Jesus is the one who said it, but we see it even in our schools and stuff. You treat each other the way that you want to be treated. And why is that? Because when you treat someone some way, they're going to want to respond back in that way. If you're negative or ugly to someone, they're going to respond probably in an ugly way, right? It's this process, this principle of sowing and reaping. When we sow love, we usually receive love. But usually it doesn't work that way, right? Usually we're pretty selfish in the way that we act. And so we want something, so we try to get it rather than giving before to receive. Right? So in our marriages, one of the things that I just encourage people is, man, if you can change, one person can change and be the person who loves their spouse, we change the cycle. Because most of the time what takes place is I want, I need, I want to get. And so what happens is, well, you're not going to get love from me until you love me. Or you're not going to get that from me until I get this from you. But if we changed our attitude and changed our response to be that I will love you first, guess what's going to happen? The response is going to change. We love, Christ loved first so that we can love him, right? So this response, this idea of sowing and reaping, I want to sow so that I can reap. Does that make sense? So living a life of giving, I think, is one of the keys to living a godly life. And I'll explain. The Christian Faith Center church that we go to up in Sun Valley, that's not even close. Seattle, that's the word. Same letter. Seattle, we're going to be there in a couple of weeks as well for a pastor's conference. But we go up there. One of their statements that I absolutely love is, we live to give and we love to give. And I love that. I think that's just a great response. We live to give and we love to give. It's because that's who we are. We say something kind of similar here at Amazing Grace Fellowship in our vision packet that you guys will be going through next week. But we say we live to give of our finances, of our time, and our service to our body, right? So that's just who we are. As Christians, our response is we give. We're givers. That's what we do, and that's who we are. But let me explain a couple of things that makes that difficult. We're natural, right? Right? We're sitting here in church and we're talking about spiritual things, but the problem is that we live in the flesh. Paul's pretty clear about what that means, right? Now we're saved, great, your heart's in the right spot, but wait a minute. We live in the flesh, so we're constantly dealing with the flesh. We're constantly dealing with this sin nature. And that sin nature, the very basis of it is selfishness, right? Sin itself all starts with selfishness. We're selfish people. I'm a selfish guy. I'll just tell you that right now. And I'm working at it, but it's a daily working at it because that's part of our flesh and that's who we are. But we need to begin to change that because if we live in such a way that's just selfish, we're never going to understand what God has for our lives. Amen? The very essence of sin is selfishness. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we are like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity for all of us. So thank God for that, right? But isn't that just like us? You know anything about sheep? I don't know tons, but I just know they're dumb, right? And they just kind of want to do their own thing. And the shepherd's over here saying, hey, follow me. This is the right direction. And the sheep's over there getting all tangled up in a bush somewhere. And that's just like us, right? Then in our selfishness, we say we've got a better way of doing it. We've got a better idea. We've got a better plan. And so we go our own way and we do our own thing. Well, Christ made a way and provided for us to where we don't have to do that anywhere. And it's a better way. Amen? So our selfishness is what separates us from God. Our selfishness is what keeps us from the plan of God, keeps us from what God has for our lives. So when it comes to our selfishness, we need to work on that. Amen? Ooh, there's two of us that are going to start working on it. I love it. I'll go further than that. I'll say it's our selfishness that separates us from people. And you might say, okay, so why is that going further? Well, I say this, I truly believe that we cannot fully love God without loving people. God is a lover of people. And if we come to God and we say, God, I just love you with my whole heart. You're so awesome. But man, I just can't stand your kids. Right? Pastor Lynn's used that illustration before and I love it because I think of that as a parent that, man, you come to me and you just want to hang with me and be around me, but you can't stand my kids and you just hate my kids. We're going to have issues, right? We're going to have problems. We probably won't have the best relationship in the world, right? And so for me, there really is this idea that if we want to truly say, God, I love you with everything I am, we have to love people. Am I right? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25 that he gives all of these lists of things that if you feed the poor and if you go visit people in prison, and there's a ton of stuff that he talks about, right? If you go do these things, you've done it to me. If you don't do these things, you haven't done it to me. And so Jesus is showing this connection to us that the way we treat people is the way we treat God. The way we treat people is the way that we approach God. So if we want to truly live a life that's godly, we have to live a life that loves on people, right? The two commandments that we have from God are what? We love God and we love people. Made it pretty simple there, and I know it's not as simple as it sounds, but you know, that's what it is. That's where we really come and we stand on that we love God and we love people. And I say we can't fully love God without loving people. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. How are we doing at seeking each other's well-being? I'll tell you, I'm pretty good at seeking my well-being. I'm pretty good at seeking after the stuff that I want, right? I'm really good at that. But how are we doing at loving on each other? How are we doing at providing for each other? How are we doing at helping each other? That's an important question to ask. And I think it's something in our lives that we as Christians need to evaluate. Amen? How are we doing in that area? God's love takes the attention off of self and places it on someone else. God's love is always looking outwards. His love is always looking to help. His love is always looking to serve. His love is always looking outward. Our love is always looking at what we can get, at what we can receive. I will love you once you love me. But we have to begin to understand the love of God and begin to put the love of God into practice in our own lives in order for that. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. How are we doing at that? Probably not so hot, huh? This is an area for all of us. We can check ourselves in this. Do we love other people more than we love us? Whew, man, that's a big one, right? Probably not in most areas. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So our point here is what? We are trying our best to become like Christ. He's our example of how to live a godly life, because he is God, right? And so we're doing our best to be changed into the image of Christ, be transformed to the image of Christ. And one of the things that Christ is he loves people. He doesn't think about himself. Everything that Christ did was about everyone else. It had nothing to do with him, right? Does that make sense to everyone? So lots of times, I'll say this, and this is probably going to get a little bit bold, but I think there's a lot of Christians that have this idea that we're Christians and we have rights. And I get it. We have rights, okay? We have God-given rights that I believe when the devil comes at me, we can say, no, devil, I'm a bought child of God, and you have to stay away from me in the name of Jesus. And we can say those things. But I think sometimes we approach it from the wrong perspective, that we say, God, I'm a bought child. Now give this to me. And that's just ugly. Man, me even just saying that in my mouth, that's just ugly. And that's not the way we approach our God. God's not just our sugar daddy that we come and we get our stuff from, right? That's just ugly to even think about from that perspective. But when we can approach God from the perspective that says, God, I love you. I love you. You're worthy of all of my praise, right? When we approach God from the perspective that says, man, I deserve, you need to give me. That's just a wrong way to approach things. I believe this, that all of our God-given rights are based from God's love. They're based on agape love. That those rights wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for the love of God that came and gave himself. He was the greatest giver of all time, right? He was the one who gives the example of how to be a giver and live the life of giving. God's promises will not manifest in your life if your actions are based on selfishness. I believe that 100%. God's promises will not manifest in your life if your actions are based on selfishness. Right? Jesus said, no greater love that a man has than to lay down his life for another. Jesus showed that. That's what he came for. It was all about that. How are we doing at laying down our life for others? A good thing to ask ourselves, huh? How are we doing at laying down our life for others, as living for Christ? Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So Pastor Lynn's been talking about disciplines within the church, and he's talked about meditation, and he's talked about solitude and simplicity, and he's talked about worship, and he talked about worship this last time around, this last week. And it's all been super good stuff, amen? And this last Wednesday, I spoke about worship as well. And one of the things that I hit on is the idea that worship is a service. In the New Testament, I'm not even going to try to pronounce what the Greek word is, but there's a word for worship that is actual service, serving one another, loving one another. How many of you guys know that a form of worship can be loving people? It can be tough to love people sometimes. And when we bring the sacrifice of worship, you guys know it can be a sacrifice to love that person you're sitting next to right now, right? It can be, am I right? So Pastor Lynn's been talking about this thing of spiritual fit. And I think giving is an area in our lives that we can become spiritual fit. How are we doing at living for others, not just living for ourselves? How are we doing at being generous people? Are we generous or are we stingy? Good question to ask ourselves. Jesus lived a lifestyle of giving. I'll say this, God in his very essence gives. He loves to give. And doesn't just love to give, that's who he is. He is a giver. So when we look at God, we look from the very beginning of time, Adam is created. And what does he do? He gives dominion to Adam over all of the earth, right? And he doesn't just give Adam this little piece of land and say, hey, here you go. But God's a generous God. I bet the garden was the most beautiful thing you'd ever seen in your entire life, right? God's a generous God. God wants to give you the entire world, right? And he gives to Adam a helpmate. You just see time after time after time all the way through Scripture that God is a giver. He loves to give, and that's who he is. The very nature of God's giving, we see that in John 3:16, right? That God so loved the world that he gave. And so we just see this essence of God is he is a giver. That's who he is. And I believe this, that when we learn to live a lifestyle of giving, it's not just something we do, but something that we are. When we become givers, we begin to live in a total different aspect, dimension of life. God wants to open up for you the windows of heaven so much so that you just can't contain what he has for your life, right? And what does that come from? That comes from giving, right? We have to give in order to receive that. But I think what else is very important is that living not for ourselves, but being a part of something so much bigger than us. Sometimes our world is based on where we are and what we're doing. And I said this first service as well, but you see the globe and most maps that are made today. What's the very center of that? It's Great Britain, right? Right there in the middle. And why is that? Because they made it. They made the map, basically. They did most of the exploring, and they did most of the stuff. And then you got Spain and these other places there. That was the center of the world. Everything evolved around them. Well, our lives, our map usually revolves around us, right? My house on Wendell Street is where my map starts, and everything flows from there. I encourage us, let's get a mindset that says that our map flows from the Father. Our map flows from him. Everything comes from him, and he's the center of it. And so he provides, and he does everything. Does that make sense to everyone? Pastor Lynn last week spoke about worship, and service is one of those things that I believe is huge when it comes to worship, right? That type of service I was talking about, Romans 12:1 says, I appeal you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Offering yourself to God and serving is worship unto the Lord. Now, I think a key point that Pastor Lynn made last week that I think is absolutely important that we have to understand is this. We approach worship many times today in a very selfish ambition. From a very selfish aspect that says, God, what am I going to receive from you today? What am I going to get? What is this? What's in it for me? If I come, am I going to receive something? Well, if I go to that church, what's in it for me? Well, if I'm going to go there and I'm going to serve, what's in it for me? And that's just the way that we approach life, right? Because it really is. It's all about us. If we really are going to be honest with ourselves, it really becomes about me and my and who I am. Our praise and worship ministry, we have a mission statement that says to lead Amazing Grace Fellowship in genuine, life-giving praise and worship, and to encourage praise and worship as a lifestyle in the hearts of believers. See, I approach worship from a perspective that says it's so much more than just singing. Now, music is phenomenal, and it's going to be around the throne room of God, and it's obviously an important thing, and it's part of worship, so don't get me wrong. But it goes far beyond that. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is something that we live. And if we just say we love God on a Sunday morning, but we don't love God for the rest of the week by serving and loving people, we're missing the whole point, right? So when it comes to our worship and the way that we approach God, we have to approach God with the understanding that says we love God. He's the reason why we worship. It's not about us. It's not about me at all. It's about him. Now, when we approach God from that perspective, the cool thing is God loves us and he wants to pour out his heart on us and he wants to give us everything in the world and he wants to just show you and reveal to you everything that he has for your life. But the problem comes when we begin to seek the stuff rather than the giver. The problem comes when we begin to just, it's all about the blessing and what I can receive from this worship rather than, God, you're worthy of my praise. And I ask the question to us, if God never gave you another penny, if he never did anything else for you, would you still worship him? And I think it's an important question to ask. We would all probably just instantly say, oh, of course, I totally would. But you know what? God is worthy of our praise, and he's going to keep giving, and he loves you. But let's ask ourselves that question. What's the reason why I worship? Why am I approaching the throne room of God? Is it for me or because he's worthy and he deserves my praise and he deserves glory and honor, right? And if we approach it from the other ways around, we're going to miss it every time. So yes, we come to church and we're prepared and our hearts are prepared to receive what God has for us. But we come prepared, like Pastor Lynn said last week, to give. We come prepared to give of our hearts to the Lord. And if we live a lifestyle of that, it's not just something where we come and we do it, but it's who we are. Does that make sense? All right. Greg Fritz, one of our favorite speakers around here. I love Greg Fritz. Probably a ton of you don't know who he is, but he's been coming for a really long time. And one of the things that he said a couple years ago was, let's make the main thing the main thing. And I love that. Let's make the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? Well, if it's not rude to say God's the main thing, right? He's the main thing. The whole point behind everything, he's the big enchilada. He is the whole point behind what we do. It's all about him. And when we make it about us in any way, we've missed and misinterpreted the entire deal. Amen? It's not about our selfish gain. It's because we love God. So let's make him the main thing. Amen? Okay, I'm going to move on here. So giving goes far beyond money, right? We haven't even really touched on money yet. Giving is a condition of the heart. I will say this, and I'll move into money in a little bit. But I'll say this, that if we have an issue with our giving, we probably have an issue in our heart that probably goes further than just money. And that's a pretty bold statement, but I'm going to stand on it. And I'm going to say it again, that I think that if we have an issue with giving of our finances, we have an issue in our heart. And we need to check those things. We need to evaluate our life in those areas. How are we doing at giving? How are we doing at tithing? How are we doing in these areas? Because I truly believe Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also, right? Our heart, is our heart in the right place? Because if your treasure is going to the wrong places, then your heart's probably in the wrong spot, right? The Macedonians were huge givers, right? They had the heart of God. Let me read a little bit here for you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:1-5, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but the first they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And I love this picture. This is a picture that they're painting that, in other words, this is not a rich society, right? It says here that in their afflictions and in their poverty, they abounded in liberality. That's so cool. That means they're givers. That means they didn't have anything to give, but they're giving. That's what their heart was. Their heart was, hey, we give you this. And more than likely, the way that it's written out here is Paul saying, no, you don't have anything to give. And they're saying, no, you take this. You take this because this is the gift that we're bringing before you. And they did it with a joyful heart. Amen? So even in their affliction and deep poverty, they abounded in the riches of their liberality. They gave beyond their ability, it says. Isn't that cool? They gave beyond their ability. I believe that's what God's called us to do. Because again, it's not about us. It's not even about our ability to give. It's about his ability. And they gave beyond that. And so verse number 5 says, and not only that we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's the key right there. That's the very first part, I believe, of becoming a giver and not just giving. We have to give ourselves to the Lord because he is the giver. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who gives glory. He is the one who gives riches. Everything comes from him. So if we're not connected with him, we're just seeking blessings, right? When we connect with the giver is when we receive the blessing. It's not connecting with the blessing that we receive a blessing, right? It's connecting with the God of the universe and then he blesses, right? So I'll go a little bit further and I'll say, God wants our lives. For us to live a lifestyle of worship, we have to give ourselves to God. It really is about him. And it's about us giving our life to him and allowing him to use us for his good, for his will, and having control over our lives. Amen? It's impossible to separate our spiritual life from our material life. Now you say, uh-oh, now we're going to talk about finances. Yes, we're going to get into finances a little bit, all right? Mark 8, 34 through 36, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So I ask the question, is it okay to have possessions? We believe so. Absolutely. God's not saying that. As a matter of fact, when we even ask that question, we're missing the entire point of what Jesus just said. He's saying, give your life to me. I want all of you. And if we have stuff in our life that's holding us away from God, that's not allowing our all to be his, guess what? We're missing the whole point. If we have things in our life that become more important than him, we're missing the entire point. So Jesus is saying, give everything away because I'm what matters. Guess what? There's a million other scriptures in the Bible that talk about finances, and they all talk about how he wants you blessed, right? So this isn't to take one scripture and say, give everything you have away, and if you're rich, man, then you're not just with God. That's goofy. People create their own stuff that's just goofy, right? The idea behind this is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is your heart fully given to God? And I say, if we have an issue in our finances where we say, God, I give you all of this, but you can't touch my finances. That's my area. I work pretty hard. That'd be like me coming to my wife and being like, you can have all of me except for this. That closet right there is mine. Although that probably happens still, right? Although, so in other words, in our lives, if I were to come to my wife and say, man, you can have all of me, but this area of my life, you just can't have. It's mine. It's goofy. God wants all of you. He wants every part of who you are, right? So the point is that we have to be willing to give our life to him. If we live in such a way that says, God, I love you and I give you my life, but we have a problem with money and we're not giving that to him, I ask this, are we truly giving our life to God? Are we truly giving our all to him? Right? And so I do throw out there, I believe that in order for us to live a godly life, we have to understand giving and we have to be givers because God wants all of us. Amen? Ooh, getting a little tight. All right. Loosen it up. It's going to be all right. Here we go. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give everyone according to his works. 100 other scriptures like this, but our reward is based on what we do. Amen. It's not based on what we have. Our reward in heaven is based on our serving and our loving and the things that we do in the kingdom of God. That's what our reward will be based on. It's not based on the stuff that you have or the wealth that you have or the things that you're able to collect, because the Bible says all of those things are going to go away, right? But what are we doing? Are we givers? Do we love people? Amen. The example, the parable of the talents. So I'll just briefly say it here because we all know it, but Jesus basically saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. Guy goes on a trip and he gives some talents or money, however you want to say it, to one guy. He gives another amount of talents to another guy, gives another amount of talents to another guy. One guy buries him in the sand. The other two go off and they double their money, right? And Jesus says, this is like the kingdom of heaven. And what he says is the stewardship is like the kingdom of heaven. And so for us, Jesus is very clear in multiple places. The kingdom of heaven is stewardship. We're stewards of God's stuff. We're stewards of the stuff that God's given us. Now that's multiple things. That's your abilities. That's your talents. That's your time. That's your finances. That's the way we treat people. We're stewards of this earth. So ask ourselves the question, how are we doing it being stewards with God's stuff? Right? If we just approach it that this is all mine and my stuff to do, we're going to miss the whole point because it's God's stuff. It's his stuff. So how are we doing it being stewards over the things that God has given us? You know, some of the biggest givers that I've ever met in my life are people that just don't have much. You ever experienced that? I remember, I'll never forget it. I went to Mexico, middle of Mexico, outside of Saltillo. There's these mountains, and you have to hike back to this little village. And this village that we went to, we walk back, and there's this little hut that's smaller than this part of the stage that I'm standing on right here. Just a tiny little house. And they didn't have much at all, just hardly had anything. And there was 12 or 13 of us on that trip. And I'll never forget, we're up there, and we're ministering to this little village. And this lady had the biggest heart of anyone I'd ever seen. She had nothing to give, but she wanted to feed us. She wanted to give us food. And we're all kind of like Paul saying, no, that's okay. You don't have to feed us. It's all right. But her life had been changed and she wanted to do something about it. And so out of the abundance of her heart, she wants to give. And so she makes us this phenomenal meal with probably all of the food that she had, right? I mean, that's just the way it felt because there's 13 of us that are there. And she makes us this phenomenal meal with the best tortillas, and it probably the heart probably helped those tortillas taste a little bit better, but the best tortillas I've ever had in my entire life. But I'm telling you, her heart was more generous than anything I'd ever seen, right? And it reminds me of a story in Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. It says, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how many people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor woman came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of those who have given to the treasury. For they have put in out of their abundance, but she puts in her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. And I just see this picture. So again, I'm not trying to paint this picture that if you have money, you're bad, and if you're poor, you're good, because that's stupid, okay? We just paint stupid pictures sometimes and come up with our own theology, and that's not what Jesus is trying to say here. But what he's saying here is are we giving out of our abundance, or are we giving out of even when we don't have anything to give, right? Because there's a lot of people that would say, man, I just don't have anything to give. And I would argue with you, and I say, you do. You've got a lot to give. And we're talking about money here, but I go beyond money as well. And I just say, living a life of generosity is what it's all about. Living a life of just loving people and having the heart of God that says, I'm willing to give up my life. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. So for you who might say, man, I just don't have anything, let's go back to the serving side of things. How many people do you know that could just use a hug, that could use an ear, that could have you go and sit with them and just talk, right? You got time. Man, awesome. Go and just love on someone. Go and give someone a hug this week, right? Go do something for someone. We have the ability to give, but we make excuses. And again, it's all based on our selfishness. And I'll throw this out there. Yeah, I'm going to throw this out there. Okay. So we have ads that come on that say, you know, hey, we need help in children's ministry, or hey, we need help over here. Hey, come and join us here. There's areas to serve. There's all of these things taking place. You know what? Part of our being givers, when we see those things, if we have the ability, we should jump all over it. Because we just love to serve. Because we're givers. We give of our time. We give of our finances. We give of our service. We give of all that we are because we just love to give. And that's part of our heart, right? And so if we have issues with that, well, the church is just always trying to get my money. The church is just always trying to get my time. You know what? You're missing the whole point. Right? We truly believe that in serving, you're going to get stuff out of it. You're going to be probably more blessed than anyone else that you serve when you serve. And so when we stand up here and we talk about finances, which you don't hear very often, right? You're not going to hear us talk about finances a lot. But when we talk about finances, it has nothing to do with us standing up here saying, hey, we need your money or we're not going to survive. Because I'll tell you this, and maybe this is a bold statement, but I'm going to say if none of you ever gave again, I believe God would provide. Amen? But the point is, you need to give. The point is, you need to become a giver for yourself to be able to accomplish what God has in your life, to be godly, and to live out the will of God in your life. Does that make sense to everyone? So when we stand up here, man, it drives me nuts sometimes hearing, well, they just want my money. And it's like, you know what? We want you blessed. We want you to live a life that's successful in God. And so when we stand up here, I just encourage you, let's change that mindset a little bit. Amen. Let's live a life of generosity. 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 8 says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go before you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. How many of you want to reap bountifully? Now, I'm going to go beyond finances here. In our lives as givers, whatever we're sowing, we're reaping. If we want joy in our home, I've told people this before, man, there's just no peace in my home. And it's like, you know, bro, go sow some peace somewhere. You know, man, there's just, I just don't have any joy. I just don't have any happiness. I just don't, are we sowing it somewhere? Are we doing something in our life? Because I truly believe the process and the principle of sowing and reaping is that when we sow something, we're going to reap it back. So in our life, as we are givers, are we sowing peace? Are we sowing something else, right? Because you're going to reap whatever you sow. So I just encourage us, let's sow bountifully good stuff, amen? So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, right? Cool. Happy. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, that's a lot of alls going on there, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, God loves a cheerful giver, right? He loves people that are cheerful. How many of you guys enjoy being around people that just, life is awful, and life is horrible, and life is just blah, and everything's a negative, and you're just constantly complaining, and no, people love being around cheerful people. Right? So if I come to you and it's like, hey, can I hang with you? Because I don't have anything else to do. And I just, life is horrible. Can I just hang around you? It's like, oh, get away from me. You know, I mean, oh, we love people and we want to hang around them. Don't get me wrong. But we love being around people who are joyful. Am I right? So when it comes to this kind of a thing, it just makes sense. Verse number 8, though, is a part that I think is something we confuse sometimes. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. So I've heard people even argue before and say, hey, I don't have enough money to give towards all good works. What is grace about? What's the point of grace? We teach at Amazing Grace that grace is God's ability where we have none. So you might stand here and say, well, someday maybe I'll be able to give towards every good work. You tell me, truly, will you ever be able to give towards every good work? Are you ever going to have trillions of dollars and make that happen? Probably not. So when it talks about this, he's not saying that in your abundance, he's saying in his abundance, that we'll be able to give to every good work. And I believe that. So what does that mean in our life? When we connect with God, when we connect with the giver, we become givers, right? When we connect with the Father who is the treasurer, that flows through us. He wants to use you. Right? And I mentioned earlier with the map thing that sometimes we just, that point of our map and that center of our map is what everything is so important. And it all flows from that. But I just encourage us that it all flows from God. And when we get this idea in our mind that God is what it's all about, His will is what it's all about. His will be done, not my own, right? All of a sudden we have the ability to be a giver because it's not about our stuff. It's not about how much money I have or what abilities I have. It's simply about what he can do through me. It's simply about what he can use me to do. And so I believe that we can give towards every good work through his grace. When we come up against issues and problems in our life, when we have a need, guess what? His grace, right? When there's a problem and there's a situation, it's not by my riches and glory, thank God, right? It's by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus that he's provided every single need for us. And that's by the grace of God. So let's get it out of our mind that it's about us. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. Let's get that out of our mind. If we can get away from us and get to God, it's about you. It's about him. What do you want? Go back to worship from last week. God, what is it that you would have me to do? What is it that you would have me to give? When we can approach him that way, guess what? He's going to use you. But when it's all about, hey, God, give me this and give me that, man, it just gets ugly, doesn't it? I just encourage us in this area, let's grow in the area of our stewardship. Let's grow in the area of being good stewards over the things that God's given us. And God's grace is given to those who have a joyful heart too, right? So let's give, not begrudgingly. Let's not just give and say, okay, fine. So Rob said that we have to become givers, and so now we're going to go give. It's like, okay, we're missing the point here. The point is that we give because we love to give, because we love people, because we love God, and because that's how the process of this whole thing works. Amen? And I just encourage us. This is just as much for me as it is for you. So I just encourage every single one of us, let's grow in this area. How are we doing at being givers? Are we givers, right? Are we takers? Are we just receiving all the time? Are we just constantly getting? Because I think God wants it a different way. Amen.